episode 25.
The long-awaited episode 25.
We keep missing weeks, and
we can't tell you why.
Yeah, we apologize. All will become clear shortly.
Yeah, but we do have a reason.
Yeah.
We just can't tell you.
Because then we'd have to kill you.
Right.
But all will be known very shortly.
Yeah.
Within the month, I would say.
Very perhaps. Likely. Yes.
Hmm.
Here's hoping.
Yes. So.
So what's been going on in the last couple of weeks? Anything fun and exciting?
I would like to get your first impressions as a foreigner on the wondrous county of Marin in the North Bay of San Francisco, California.
Well,
should we explain? We've been doing a few odd jobs, and one of them is
bums.
Yeah, we're bums. And one of them is the awesome task of bike and pedestrian counts,
mm-hmm.
where basically we get assigned to a location and pretend there is an invisible line in the ground. And every pedestrian or bike rider that crosses that line, we mark on a little piece of paper, and then we get paid cash.
Yeah.
Well, not cash, but we get paid money.
Yeah, it's
which
true.
Which is almost as good as cash these days.
Yeah.
And it's been up in Marin, which, if anybody is unfamiliar with Marin, as Jordan was before this week.
Except for the Dead Kennedy song.
Yes.
But I thought it was Marin.
Yeah. It is pronounced Marin, meaning ocean, of course, or sea, or something like that. It is the, when you take the iconic Golden Gate Bridge out of San Francisco, you go into Marin County, and it's the county that immediately adjoins San Francisco via the Golden Gate Bridge. And it is, I'm not sure how accurate this is, but I've heard it's the wealthiest county in the United States, which seems like, you know, I'm not saying it's completely out of the question, but it seems like, you know, what about the Hamptons in New York or, you know, somewhere in Connecticut or something like that. So I'm not sure how much I believe that, but I do think it's entirely possible. And, you know, there's a handful of celebrities that live in Marin.
Like who?
Like Cheech Marin.
Really?
Lives in Marin.
Oh my God.
Carlos Santana lives in Marin.
Oh, I have a few things to say to that guy.
yeah, there's a lot of other people, you know, a lot of famous head up their ass authors live in Marin, I'm sure.
What about Metallica? They don't live up there, do they?
Oh yeah, Metallica lives in Marin.
Metallica lives in Marin, the same
James
place.
James Hetfield lives in Marin.
Right next door to Santana.
Yeah. James Hetfield, I think we talked about this on an earlier podcast, but it bears revisiting. James Hetfield of Metallica, of course, bought a large property in Marin, as you are wont to do when you're a rich and famous asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And on this property, is kind of a communal trail. Marin, you know, for all its asshole-ish residents, is a beautiful, beautiful part of the country.
Yes.
It's awesome. And there was a very pretty, and, you know, for all its asshole-ish residents, people in Marin are very outdoorsy, and they very much appreciate nature, even though they won't let us build BART through their county. But they, you know, they appreciate the finer aspects of pretty scenery. And so there was like an ancient hiking trail that went through James Hetfield's new property. And it was just kind of a trail. It wasn't a public trail. It was just something used by the adjacent property owners and the community members. And it wasn't like it went through his backyard and people were peeking into his house or anything. It just happened to go through his property for a little bit. And he fenced it off and was like, no, nobody can use this trail. This is James Hetfield's property now. And, you know, all the neighbors are like, hey, you know, we appreciate that you bought this property. It's just been a little thing we got going on. You know, it's just a trail. We don't want to disturb you. That's the last thing we want to do. But can we still, you know, hike through this little part of your property that's really far away from your house and you can't even see it? No, I'm James Hetfield. Fuck you. So, yeah. James Hetfield, another asshole resident of Marin. And
can we go and pee on his lawn?
Yeah, if we find out where it is.
Okay.
Oh, George Lucas. He's the most famous resident in Marin.
Right.
There is a Lucas Valley Road, although I've been told it was not named after George Lucas. But it is where the DreamWorks, Dream Ranch, whatever is.
Interesting.
Even though it was apparently not named after him. But,
right.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's some famous assholes that live in Marin with lots of money. Less not famous assholes with who still have a lot of money that live in Marin. And there's that famous Dead Kennedy song, Moon Over Marin, which I think is a pretty good representation of Marin for people. It's a good primer for people who may not know anything about Marin. And I think the premise of the song is that in a post-apocalyptic wasteland, this person comes out of their beachfront house and walks down to their own private beach, which is chained off by a chain-link fence, and enjoys the moon over Marin.
The crowded future stings my eyes. I still find time to exercise in a uniform with two white stripes. Unlock my section of the sand. It's fenced off to the water's edge. I clamp a gas mask on my head on my beach at night. Hit the rocks, abandoned to spill out its guts. The sand is laced with sticky glass. A shimmering moonlight sheen upon the waves and water clogged with oil. White gas and steam up from the soil. All my beach at night, bathing around the
I think that's very accurate because Marin is beautiful, but it's very private.
Yeah.
And it's very much like Marin wants to keep that beauty to itself.
Right.
And Marin is very NIMBY. NIMBY meaning not in my backyard, if you're unfamiliar with that phrase. They won't allow Sonoma County, which is directly north, to build BART through Marin County, because that would mean public transportation to San Francisco. We don't want that. We want lots of congestion on the freeways, and we want like a once hourly bus that costs $10 to be your only option to go to San Francisco if you live in Sonoma County. I'm just a little bitter because I grew up in Sonoma County, so it's like required by law that I hate Marin. That is a primer on Marin for anybody who doesn't know it. And now I would like to hear Jordan's impression of Marin.
I mean, I kind of saw a nice side of Marin,
yeah.
Really. I mean, it kind of, I guess something that I'm finding is very different here in California, but particularly in, the Bay Area, is that what you guys think are, really big, crazy houses, I'm like, that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Because where I'm from, there is urban sprawl like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And the houses are gigantic. Like, my dad's house back in Edmonton, it would probably rival some of the biggest houses in all of San Francisco.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
It's pretty big, but I don't know. It's, So it's funny because everybody's always like, oh my god, look at these houses. And I'm like, well.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty normal. Yeah, I guess.
No, but that makes sense, because I remember when I went to the East Coast for the first time and, you know, went to college out there, and, you know, there are these enormous Victorians selling for, $50,000, and I was like, what the fuck? Oh,
yeah.
My God! But it was totally normal out there.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Houses are a lot smaller out here in general.
Yeah.
Except in Marin.
I mean, I guess it actually kind of reminded me a little bit of the neighborhood that I grew up in, except without the, walk-up, slum-lorded apartment buildings that were right across my back alley. the kids from which were really mean. and understandably so, because they lived in abject, horrible poverty. I don't know. I mean, I guess the thing that I have taken from this experience so far has been our driving experience. Yeah. where we were accosted by a gentleman driving a red BMW convertible.
Oh, he was a gentleman driving a billboard for erectile dysfunction.
Right. So he yelled at us for cutting him off, allegedly, which we didn't. And then he got in front of us, and we were able to see that that his license plate read "Never Up," which we were talking about earlier, and we couldn't figure out, like, I mean, to me, that just sounds like he's like, yeah, I'm impotent. Fuck it, I'm owning it.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine what other possible
message. I bought the asshole sports car that shows everyone I've got a small dick, and now I've got the vanity plate that says I can't even get it up, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I don't
But
know.
Yeah, we were actually, like, racking our brains, like, okay, ha ha ha, ED, but really, what did that plate mean? And we can't come up with an explanation.
Like, the best explanation that we thought up was that he likes to sleep a lot.
Yeah.
But
or perhaps he has vertigo and needs to lay down a lot.
Right. Or,
or he's afraid of heights and has never flown in a plane.
Right. Yeah. Those were our best. Yes. Our best. And they don't seem very plausible.
Yeah. If you have any theories, feel free to send them to thecosmopolitanhour@gmail.com.
Yes, please do. Because we are stumped.
If you are the impotent, small-dicked asshole driving a red BMW convertible with vanity plates in Corte Madera, please let us know what your license plate means.
Yes, we would like to know.
Yes, and we can assure you we didn't cut you off. We saw you speeding up behind us to pretend like we had cut you off.
And that's why you got the finger and the boob grab.
Yeah, we did a boob grab. It was awesome. I think that's like the, kind of like the female equivalent of the crotch grab.
I guess.
Like, fuck you! Eat this, lady! Instead I'm like, eat this, dude!
See, but the problem with that is that lots of guys would be like, let me at it!
Well, the thing is, he was so pissed off. Like, I'm not saying he wouldn't have liked it in any other circumstance, but he was so pissed off, I think it just made him more pissed off, so it was totally worth it.
I was actually, he looked like kind of a small guy. And I was actually kind of hoping that when we stopped at that light right behind him that he would get out of his car, and then you would get out of your car and dwarf him, like, block out the sun from where he's standing. And then I could have been
It'd be like a funny scene in a movie where, like, this tiny little compact car door opens, and then this, like, like Andre the Giant comes out.
Erica, the Amazon!
What do you want?
You could have, like, quelled him just by bringing your massive fist down on top of his head, hammering him into the pavement. You must forgive me. As a person who spent most of their childhood being smaller than usual and weaker than usual.
Are you fetishizing me?
No, but
Your BFG. Is that what I am? I'm your BFG friend. That's all I am.
My favorite Marvel superhero when I was a kid was the She-Hulk.
Nice.
And, like, I was like, one day I'm going to be big and strong. And I did get to be quite a bit bigger than most people ever thought I would. Because I really was. I was a tiny little child. And then I ended up growing, like, in university. So that was kind of weird, but
I almost thought you were going to say in utero, and I was like, well, isn't that kind of normal?
That's pretty normal. I did grow in utero, too, though.
Good.
Started off as two cells, and then I progressed.
You've come so far.
I know.
I'm proud of you.
I know. Thank you. but yeah, so I've always wanted to be, like, bigger and stronger than I am, but...
Well, someday robot exoskeletons will make that dream a reality.
That's true. I mean,
until then,
I could always get lifts. But that won't really make me any stronger. Yeah. I'll just have to start doing steroids.
Clearly. You could get those crazy extensions that like these crazy shoes. I can't even describe them on a podcast. I think I should just give them up now.
Okay. Crazy shoes.
They're crazy shoes that make you taller, and they, like, bend, and they're like springs, and I think they're based on hares' feet, but they're made out of metal. I'm just gonna stop right now.
All right, we'll end that.
Yes. So we basically just drove around Marin making snarky comments about, you know, We're gonna get kicked out, you know, like you went to use the ATM and you're like, I'm gonna get kicked out for having the lowest bank balance in Marin.
I made a really snarky comment that I didn't actually mean to be heard by anybody, but I think was heard by somebody.
That's right.
At Peach Coffee. I can't remember what it was that brought about this remark coming out of my mouth, but just as we like turned the corner to like come onto the little patio in front of Pete's Coffee where there were like a group of women and their giant strollers and many offspring sitting, I said, well, I guess there's nothing else to do in Marin but get pregnant. I don't know if all of them heard me, but one of them heard me for sure.
Whatever. She can deal.
It's okay.
Yeah.
She probably thought that I was like some 17-year-old snot kid.
Yeah. Like the 17-year-old snot-nosed kid that was in Pete's when we walked in.
Yeah, with the way too tight pants.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, he walked by the car and I was like, I don't want to see your bulge if you're that young.
Yeah.
That's wrong, young man.
I know.
Yeah, he had on, looked like his 7-year-old sister's khakis with like a studded belt and then kind of like a billowy dress shirt.
He was clearly working out the fashion kinks in his look.
Yeah, that's putting it charitably, yes. And he was kind of, you know, he was a bit of a husky boy, I think.
Yeah, he wasn't fat, but he was...
He had a rounder top. He was an apple shape. He shouldn't have been wearing skin-tight pants. He, you know, he didn't have a bad body. Not that I'm checking out teenage boys' bodies. You know, he was an okay boy. He was a good young man. He just had on jeans that were not flattering to his figure because they were made for a 10-year-old girl.
Right. So really, they wouldn't be flattering to anybody.
So the belt was like probably halfway across his ass crack. If you lifted the shirt up, you'd probably see ass crack. So the shirt, because it was loose, made his torso look even bigger. And his little like tight pants made his little chicken legs look even skinnier. And then... Like, he just had his big bulge. Like, it was belt and bulge and chicken legs. That was it.
Yeah. I'm really glad I'm not, like, a...
Shaggy emo hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh.
I don't think any of us really looked any better when we were his age.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. I know that Mike used to get a lot of shit for how he dressed in high school. Because he refused to adhere to any one look. So he'd,
refused to toe the line.
Well, he'd, like, wear a Grateful Dead shirt, and then he'd wear, like... You know, like a St. Vitus shirt the next day and, like, go all metal. And then he'd be, like, you know, green-haired something the next day.
Uh-huh.
And people would make fun of him for that.
Aw.
But really, he's just such a free spirit.
He's a festive, colorful character.
Yes. Festive is definitely how I would describe him.
Embrace that for the beauty it is.
Mm-hmm. But my overall impression of Marin was that... I don't know. It was people with too much money and, like, nothing interesting going on in their lives except for making themselves, like, look good and...
Earning more money.
Earning... Yeah, like, and I don't mean this to seem judgmental to any readers. Maybe you read and listen to the podcast, but I guess what I'm trying to say, listeners, who, you know, don't choose to live their life the way that I do, because I get that, you know... There are lots of different paths that we can choose, and not the same thing is right for everybody. But I look at, like, you know, like those women in their giant strollers, like, sitting around in the middle of the afternoon in the mall at Pete's, and I'm just like, God damn, that's
bouncing depressing. Between Macy's and Nordstrom.
Yeah, and I'm like, they have, you know, lots of money and probably perfect credit scores and, you know, nice cars and houses and clothes and everything else. But, yeah, I wouldn't
their
trade their existence for my, like, broke, you know... precarious existence.
Their lives are a hollow husk. At least that's what our broke asses tell ourselves, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure that they tell themselves that we are, like, horribly unhappy, terrible people who are, you know, who don't deserve anything good. But
fair enough.
I don't mean to be like their lives are shitty, because I'm sure that they're happy, or I hope that they're happy, but I look at that and I get depressed, because that is really not what I would ever want for myself.
Yes.
So, that was my impression of Marin. I wouldn't want to be one of the people who live there.
Me neither.
Unless I could just totally repopulate it with...
Yeah.
If I could move San Francisco into Marin, like, for the natural landscape, then, that would be all
right. in that book I was talking about, The Years of Rice and Salt. I did look for a used copy for you.
Oh, did you?
But they didn't have it.
Aw. Well, that's okay.
But I did think about you. Give me credit for that.
It's the thought that counts.
That's right. That's right.
Give me credit.
although you haven't been to the West County yet. Because West Marin is like still kind of hillbilly. Still a little crazy. It's a cool little mishmash. There's some rich assholes out there. They're kind of everywhere in Marin. But there's still a lot of like old farmers out there. There's a lot of like kind of crazy people. You know, the Synanon cult was out there. Lots of burnt out hippie surfer dudes hiding from whatever, hiding from real life, I guess.
Who knows?
New agey kind of folks. It's a really interesting mishmash, and the towns out there are really nice and cute. And if I had to live in Marin, I would definitely live in the West County. That's Marin. So you can see the West County tomorrow and.
Yes.
See how drastically different it is from the Marin that's along the 101.
Yes. Well, I am looking forward to it.
Yes.
So speaking of surfing, I went surfing.
Yeah.
And I'm now obsessed and want to learn how
bug?
To surf. Yeah. It's crazy. It is so much fun. And I recommend that anybody that can get to a beach and beg, borrow, or steal a surfboard should totally go out and go surfing.
Surfing USA! Really
yeah. I thought that I was totally gonna die because the day that we went on, the waves were really, really big. Really big. And, they were so big that, Mike couldn't even get out to, the place where most of the, better surfers were surfing because it was, the current, towards shore was so strong that, you just couldn't really get out there. So it was crazy, but, it was really fun, and I didn't die, even though the next day some of my shoulder muscles felt like I should have. But yeah, and the ocean, I'm proud to announce, cures hangovers.
Yay!
Because I was hungover when I went, and I was not hungover when I crawled out of the ocean in my wetsuit.
I have never been surfing.
You should come.
I've grown up in California, and I've never been surfing. I should try it out.
You should.
That would be fun.
It's like a really good girl power sport too, because apparently with our lower centers of gravity, it's a little bit easier for us to balance than guys. So
just try and knock me over.
Yeah. I mean, you'll fall. I fell. I fell a lot, but you're falling into the water, so it's just kind of like, whatever, it's fine.
Ain't no thing.
Yeah. Totally. So, surfing. Awesome. I just wanted to take that minute to endorse it.
Well, now we know your official position on surfing.
Go surfing is my position.
Go surfing, 09.
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you. Go surfing for president, 2012.
So, I kind of wanted to dedicate part of this episode to the fellas.
Oh.
This one's for the dudes.
I see.
And by for the dudes, I mean I still want to talk about stuff from a feminist perspective, but acknowledging that gender equality crosses all lines.
Okay. This sounds kind of heavy. Can I go get another cup of coffee?
Yes, indeed. Okay. Fellas! Let me see your umbrellas.
So is this addressed to the fellas or is this for the fellas?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
It's for the ladies, too.
Okay.
We're going to slow it down a bit for the ladies.
Okay.
I guess I wanted to talk about, because I saw an ad recently, and then, well, two ads, a TV ad and a billboard, which you are probably familiar with.
Maybe.
Decided I'm not going to mention that organization's name anymore.
I don't want to talk
about them. But there was another ad, and
the really photoshopped ad. Okay.
There's a billboard, and then there's a TV ad also. I forget who the TV ad is for. Thwarted you, advertisers. Good job. I just remember the ad. I don't remember the product. But, both ads had this theme of ridiculing men by comparing them to women.
Right.
Which, frankly, does neither gender any favors. And I don't know who they think they're appealing to in doing this, because when you when you alienate men and then you alienate women, who the fuck is left? So the TV ad in question is, it showed Danica Patrick, who's that really famous female race car driver.
Okay, yes.
I'm not sure why exactly she's famous. I think she might have been the first female to win the Indy 500 or something. You know, she's famous. She's a chick who drives cars, and she's famous.
Right.
And the thing that, and I've kind of been bugged by stuff like this, you know, stuff surrounding her before, because it's like, she's a chick who drives cars, but in the pages of our magazine, she's sexy. You know, it's like they have to qualify that. Right. You know, even though she drives cars, she's still a lady. She still has boobies.
Yes.
you can still get into her pants. So yeah, she's in this ad, and I don't blame her. Girlfriend's got to make a living. You know, you can't drive race cars forever. Oil's gonna run out. So the ad. It's this series of ads that I've been seeing on Hulu, and again, I forget what it's for, but they have this theme throughout all the series, like, you know, something totally crazy happens, and then the person goes, you think this is wrong, what about blah, 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 and then they, you know, list some horrible human rights violation, like charging you $2 a minute overage fees on your cell phone plan or something. So the Danica Patrick ad was, she pulls into the pit off the racetrack, and her pit crew comes out, and they're all men wearing, like, skimpy skirts and, like, high heels and, you know, these really ridiculous trappings of quote-unquote femininity. And they're, like, changing her tires and everything, and they're kind of stumbling around. And then they cut to Danica Patrick, and she says something like, you think this is ridiculous? Or, no, you think this is wrong? Try blah, blah, blah. And then they advertise for whatever it is that I forget they're advertising for.
I remember what it is, but I'm not going to tell you.
Good. Yeah. I don't want to know.
Good. they also have a very problematic vegan ad, or problematic for vegans ad, a suicide food ad.
I think I recall something. Describe it to me.
It's two pigs, two, like, you know, CGI pigs sitting in a restaurant eating a ham.
That's right. I think I have seen that one, and I was like, Jesus fuck. That's disgusting.
Yes, if Suicide Food Blog has not already gotten all over that, then I will be sorely disappointed.
Ben, who is a gentleman and a scholar and an adventurer.
Ben, get your ass on there, because we'd like to hear your scholarly musings.
So yeah, the Danica Patrick ad kind of confused me, because I wasn't clear what message they were going for, you know, obviously because I'd forgotten what they were advertising, but also was it like, oh, it's so wrong that these men are wearing these ridiculous outfits, or is it so wrong that, you know, these people doing this very physical, like, you know, extremely time-sensitive job are wearing these ridiculous clothing, you know, articles of clothing that are impeding their movements and slowing them down? Or is it really wrong that, you know, she's the woman in the driver's seat and all the men around her dressed up as sex objects? I wasn't, you know, it could have been all of those things.
Yeah.
And each of those things. So that kind of pissed me off. And then the other thing, you know, in this same thread that pissed me off, which you are familiar with, is a new billboard from an unnamed organization.
Whose billboards we have discussed in past episodes.
With whom we have, like, a T-Rex sized bone to pick.
Yes.
and the billboard is advocating for men to go vegan.
Vegetarian, I believe.
Oh, vegetarian. But, okay. Close enough.
Whatever.
By saying, it just had a shot of a man's torso. An overweight man's torso, or, you know, not overweight, chubby. It's not even really that big. It's just, you know, it's a chubby dude. He's a bear. It's a bear.
Right.
It's a bear torso. He's kind of chubby. He's got a little belly. He's got some chest hair. And he's, you know, he's got a little, you know, little extra padding around the pecs.
Except that, to me, that looked like women's boobs photoshopped onto the man's body.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I've seen many pairs of man boobs, and I have never seen a pair that was that perky and shapely and, like,
that's true.
Frankly, kind of hot. I mean, not on that guy and not covered with hair, because that's just not my thing. But
man boobs shall henceforth be referred to as moobs.
Moobs, okay. Okay.
Using legal language.
Right, yeah. Thank you.
Wherein the complainant, in parentheses, moobs.
Wait, who are moobs suing?
The institution of sexism.
All right, good one.
Yeah,
good one.
That's
okay.
What I thought. So yeah, the billboard has a bear with some moobs photoshopped in, and it said, "Dude looks like a lady, lose the boobs, go vegan or go vegetarian," something like that.
Yeah.
And again, ridiculing men by making them feminine, by feminizing them.
Right.
Which, you know, obviously implies that there is inherently something shameful about being feminine. Is also pretty misleading because it's, you know, it's kind of like, hey, you know, women have the market cornered on this whole, like, self-shame kind of thing. Let's shame men about their bodies for a change. Instead of, like, hey, let's not do this at all. Let's let everybody accept themselves and like themselves for who they fucking are. No, let's make men just as oppressed as women. That's how two wrongs do make a right.
And the thing about both of those ads, too, is that it's not, they don't just offend, you know, males and females. They offend, like, transgendered people and, like, you know, all kinds of people with, like, alternative or you know, gender queer kind of identities and stuff like that. I mean, it's just, it's so offensive across the board.
Yeah.
It's not, it's like, good job, you haven't just offended women or just offended men or just offended, like, transgendered people or whatever. You've offended everybody in one ad.
Yeah.
Like, in one billboard with eight words
on
it.
Way to go.
Like, good,
yeah.
Good job.
Money well spent.
Yeah. I don't know. I spend a lot of time around women who have a hard time with their bodies, and, you know, who doesn't if they spend time with women? Because a lot of women have a hard time with their bodies, just because we're very conditioned to do that. But, I mean, I notice sometimes that that guys are getting more and more plagued by those kinds of things, too. And I really hate having to say things to guys where I'm like, you're really not fat. Like, you look good. Or, you know, like, I hate having to say that to anybody.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I guess I'm less used to saying it to guys. And, it's just, I think it's really sad. You know, it's just kind of, I guess at first, you know, a lot of women were like, well, men are the problem. And it's, you know, men are these designers or these purveyors of taste or fashion or class or whatever, and they are holding us up to this unreasonable standard, and they're making us feel bad about our bodies and blah blah blah. But it's just everybody is in on it, and everybody's making everybody else feel bad about their body. And
I think
it just needs to stop. I mean, I don't
it's a
really
big feel bad clusterfuck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
Nobody
really know
wins.
What to say about it. It's just like, where is this stuff coming from? Is it like skinny people are sitting in a room somewhere and, like, plotting
to
make
the Jews.
Right. And plotting, like, 6 miles under the earth.
Yeah.
And plotting to make everybody feel bad? Because, I don't know, I wasn't invited. I'm, like, so, I mean,
my invite got lost in the mail. Damn it.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know where this is coming from and who thinks this is a good idea. Well, I guess I do, since I know what companies they're advertising for. But I don't, like, I can hardly even form a coherent thought about it because it's just so stupid and juvenile and just, it's like trying to argue with an 8-year-old kid who, like,
is
in that, I know you are, but one of my
phase. Totally. And the other thing that really bothered me about the billboard, the male billboard, and it, you know, I think I was kind of surprised by my reaction. I almost felt like I reacted more strongly than I did to the billboards targeting women. And I'm not sure why that is. I don't know if it's because, you know, probably because as a woman, I'm so used to seeing shit out there that tries to make me feel ashamed of who I am, or, you know, make me think I'm not pretty enough or not thin enough or, you know, whatever, that I'm just so used to seeing it. And then seeing it directed at a man is, like, something new. And so maybe that was, like, you know, the like this something fresh and new that needed to arouse my ire, but it might have also been the fact that, you know, this organization that shall not be named seems to think that comparing men to women is to ridicule or to humiliate them or to prod them into action. Like, dude, you almost look like a chick, you know, it's time to get your shit together, you know? So yeah, just, so those things really irritated me. But the other thing that really bothered me about that billboard and also about the billboards, you know, targeting women is the fact that I'm vegan and I'm not a supermodel stick thin person. And I know lots and lots of vegan men who might have what this unnamed organization would consider to be, you know, minor moobage or, you know, little bellies. And it's not like...
Or bigger bellies. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, just because you go vegan... Going vegan is not a diet. It is a lifestyle.
Right.
And I can't emphasize that enough. And it's not going to magically change your appearance. It's not going to make you sexy. It's not going to make you thin. You know, it's not going to make you more beautiful. All that depends on you, personally. This is my pep talk part.
Okay.
I'm an inspirational speaker right now.
Oh, good, okay.
In a few minutes, I'm going to get into my horrible decline into drug abuse and prostitution and my redemption story. And then end it all by throwing some freebies into the crowd.
Do you have, like, a cannon for t-shirts?
Yeah, t-shirt cannon.
Awesome.
Some baby Ruths or something.
Not vegan.
Yeah. I feel like I'm getting really, like, incoherent because I'm so upset. But, but yeah, that shit doesn't come from adopting a movement with a trendy ad campaign. That shit comes from inner confidence and realizing... I don't give a shit if I have a little extra flab around my belly, because, hey, I didn't have to kill something to eat today. And, yeah. And I just wish people would stop thinking that dressing a man as a woman or comparing him to a woman is to humiliate him or to incite ridicule of him.
Yeah, which is just offensive on so many levels.
Yes, and I think the movie Big Mama's House should be proof of that. That was like a double whammy. It was like, let's insult women and black people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's humiliate this man by dressing up as a woman and, you know, a fat woman.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Well, let's just poke fun at everybody who isn't a thin white male. Let's do that.
I think that's kind of where pop culture and advertising is going.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, I'm with you fully. I think that unnamed organization really needs to stop focusing on...
body image.
Well, and trying to get people to convert to vegetarianism or veganism because they think it will make them lose weight.
Yeah.
Or be more attractive or anything else. I mean, I know that it's a harder sell to say, like, look, you know, you might not lose 30 pounds like that. And, you know, it might be kind of a pain in the ass if you're used to eating McDonald's every day. Like, it's going to be a big change for you. But, you know, I think it'll be one of the best things that you ever do if you go vegan. Yeah, it's a harder sell, but...
That makes me really sad that what we're basically discussing as the ethical reason to go vegetarian is considered a harder sell than the vanity reason.
Yeah, I know.
That's really sad.
People suck. But I mean, true. It's the same kind of thing as, you know, like, you hear about all of these... like Christian mega churches who are trying to get converts to convert, or they're trying to win converts.
Trying to get converts to convert.
they're trying to win converts, like in really underhanded ways. Like they're kind of, you know, like there was that news story about the football team that was taken out to some kind of Christian ritual, and like a bunch of them were baptized right there on the spot. You know, and it's like, well, you really think that those people are gonna maintain the faith and who are going to become like great Christians? Yeah, maybe a couple of them will.
Yeah,
but that's a recipe for like dropouts and for failure for these people.
Yeah.
If what you really want is to create, you know, healthy, happy Christian people, and it's the same thing with veganism.
Exactly,
the people who are going to stick with it and who are going to, you know, end up doing good and being involved in the community and really making a difference are the people who are going to come to it for a reason other than.
Mm-hmm.
oh, I heard that, you know, such and such celebrity went vegan and lost 30 pounds, so I'm going to do it. Like,
yeah.
It's the same old skinny bitch kind of tired routine all over again. Like, we were ex-models. We know what it takes to look like a model, so just do what we tell you to, and you will look fabulous and be gorgeous, and that will just be everything that you need. It's like, no.
Yeah.
No, you're just going to attract the same people that bought the Atkins diet 2 months ago.
Yeah,
and are
going to
buy, you know, whatever update of the Atkins diet comes out 2 weeks from now, you know?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I mean, it's insulting, and it's not even very effective. I mean, it's going for quantity over quality.
Yeah,
and
there's the fast way, and then there's the correct way.
Yeah, I don't know. I understand that sometimes these things are a numbers game, but given that the organization in question that shall remain unnamed has never even really released any numbers on how effective its campaigns are, I don't know.
Someone tells me that they never will.
Yeah. So I guess a big thumbs down for the unnamed organizations that
yet again
put out these ads. and we are not going to give any free publicity to here.
I'm still really puzzled by the Danica Patrick one, though.
I think it's just,
like, what?
I think they're probably relying on the gut reaction of, like, oh, dude, you know, guys wearing short skirts and heels, that's so wrong, dude.
Yeah.
That's so wrong.
I think it probably just adds insult to injury that it's a chick driving the car, too.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Which is why me grabbing my boob at that guy yesterday was my way of objectifying him. I'm just trying to balance the tables a little bit.
Good work.
Thanks. I try.
Feminist warrior.
Should we check emails?
Let's check emails.
I think we did get one about our crazy ass healthcare rant.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if I read it.
I hope it was a supportive one.
I'm sure it was. You know, we've been getting shit tons of comments on the blogs.
Really?
And by shit tons, I mean like two for each episode. Oh, okay, yeah, we don't have any new emails, but I know we had one. I know we had some comments on the blog.
All right.
We can
respond
to those.
Let's see those.
Doo-doo-doo. We have 3 followers on our blog.
My goodness.
Wow. Okay, yeah, we have 2 comments on our healthcare episode, so let's read them.
Whoa.
Yeah, Paul wrote a big one. Paul, back in 2008, this Whole Foods CEO, John Mackey, how old is this kid, was caught posting negative comments, trash talk, about a competitor on Yahoo Finance message boards in an effort to push down the stock price. I remember that. So now I am supposed to take this loser seriously? Please, snore, snore.
Hear, hear.
Would you care to read the next paragraph?
Okay. It's funny we hear Republicans say that they do not want faceless bureaucrats making medical decisions, but they have no problem with private sector faceless bureaucrats daily declining medical coverage and financially ruining good, hardworking people. Honestly, where can they go with a precondition?
True that.
And who says the private sector is always right? Do we forget failures like Long-Term Capital, WorldCom, Global Crossing, Enron, Tyco, AIG, and Lehman Brothers? Of course, the federal government will destroy healthcare by getting involved. Oh, but wait, Medicare and Medicaid and our military men and women and the Senate and Congress get the best healthcare in the world. And oh, that's right, it's run by our federal government.
Whoa, Molly, you're ruining the recording here.
I can understand why some may think that the federal government will fail. If you look at the past 8 years as a current history, with failures like the financial meltdown and Katrina. But the fact is that they can... And if we support them, they will succeed.
All right.
The third paragraph.
How does shouting down to stop the conversation of the healthcare debate at town hall meetings endear them to anybody, especially when the organizations that are telling them where to go and what to do and say are Republican political operatives, not real grassroots? True that. How does shouting someone down or chasing them out like a lynch mob advance the debate? It does not. So I think the American people will see through all of this and know, like the teabagger, the birthers, these lynch mob types, aka screamers, are just the same. People who have to resort to these tactics because they have no leadership to articulate what they really want. It's easy to pick up a busload of people who hate, and that's all I've been seeing. They hate and can't debate. Too bad. Well, right on, Paul.
Yeah, thank you for commenting.
Very well done. Thank you, sir.
They hate and can't debate.
That's right. Haters.
And now we have
Anonymous.
A comment from Anonymous. which says, it starts off kind of...
I think they're replying to Paul's comment.
Okay. But private sector healthcare is really good business. It is fucked up, but for the consumers, not the executives and shareholders. Right. They make lots and lots of money. I think the idea is to take the business profit out of healthcare. Kaiser is supposedly a non-profit, but I guess having to compete in a system that is constantly pushing up healthcare costs, it doesn't really make them different. I think that what this person's saying is that the reason that is that private sector healthcare is good for people, just not the people that it's supposed to be good for.
Yeah,
the people who need
true.
The care. And
that's
I'm
true.
With, I'm with you. I'm with you. Anonymous
it's good for
commenter.
The CEOs.
Yes.
And then we have some comments from episode 23. Nothing like an episode about juggalos and other unsavories to make me happy that I fled the continent. However, the photo of Wizard Lovin almost makes me think about coming back. So glad you're still podcasting after 6 months. It's from Torque from PPK.
Yay.
Thanks, Torque. She's our listener from Brazil.
Yes.
Well, she's not from Brazil, but she lives in Brazil.
She lives in Brazil.
And I get a big kick out of knowing that somebody in Brazil listens to our podcast. So thank you, Torque.
Yes. Thank you. We will try and keep it up for another 6 months or more.
And I like this other comment about Glenn Beck, which
yes.
I think you should read since you are the Glenn Beck lady.
Right. regarding Glenn Beck, I think Jimmy Buffett is too party stoner for him. I'm thinking Toby Keith, Garth Brooks, Rascal Flatts, etc. And that one's signed Jen, so I don't know.
Is that J-Mo Jen or maybe another
yeah,
Jen?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's too many Jens in the
there
world.
There are too many Jens in the world.
Actually, no. We love all the Jens
we
in the world.
We do love Jens, but, you know.
We have other comments, but they're too old to read. Sorry.
Yes.
I think they're both from Melissa, so.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I mean, not good. I just mean that she probably won't be offended.
Yeah, that we don't read them.
Right.
So, yeah, that was our. Those were our comments. So, yeah, we've
thank
got
you
some
for
great
commenting
listeners.
And writing.
Yes.
And,
thank you.
We enjoy your writings and
yeah.
comments.
We're blowing up. We got listeners all over the globe.
It's true.
And we've got people whose names we don't even recognize.
It's true.
That's,
maybe
that's the true
recognize.
Mark of success for a podcast, when people are commenting and you don't know who they are.
It's true. We're really great.
We are great.
This is the self-congratulatory episode.
Thumbs up to us.
Between my toes.